Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
Hi, I'm Joe Carmichael. I'm filling in for Pastor Craig as he's had a few days away to love and care for his ailing mom. And I look forward and count it an honor to share with you here in just a few moments. I understand that you're in a sermon series called Road Trip. And today we're going to take a road trip on a well-known road in Scripture between Jerusalem and Jericho. In fact, it's called The Road to Jericho. And one of the more popular stories in Scripture that we know of took place on that road that Jesus told a story about. Now, on this day, Jesus had a crowd surrounding him, which wasn't unusual. And one of the attorneys in the crowd asked Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's not a bad question. Jesus obviously recognized him as an attorney, and he said, "What is written in the law?" In other words, you answer the question. He quoted it by heart. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You have answered well. Do this, and you will live." But attorneys are often very good at asking follow-up questions, and this attorney did. He asked Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" And with that question, Jesus begins to tell one of the more popular and familiar stories in all of the Scripture. We have come to know it as the story of the Good Samaritan. It took place on that 40-mile stretch of road between Jerusalem and Jericho. A man was going down that road. He fell among bandits and thieves. They beat him, robbed him, stripped him, and left him for half dead. If you know the story, you know that a priest came along, saw the man there by the road, and he walked by on the other side. A Levite then came, or a temple assistant, an associate pastor, so to speak. He walks over, in one translation, he walks over and actually looks at the man laying by the side of the road, but he too decides to pass by on the other side. And then along comes a Samaritan. Now, we'll talk more in the sermon about the place that Samaritans had, but do you think the Samaritan passed by on the other side? I think not. Listen to what the Samaritan did. "And then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed the wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him in the inn where he was staying, and the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man, and if the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm in town.'" And then Jesus finishes the story and asks the attorney, "Now who proved to be a neighbor?" And the attorney answered, "The man who showed mercy," or "the one who showed kindness." And so today, on our road trip, we're going down a road to kindness. Are you ready? Let's go.
Well, you've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Or just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets.
What can you do to be kind?
Quite a few times I let other people do something that they wanted to do, even though I didn't like it that much. That's not all that often.
Sometimes at the playground, my friends are sad, and I sit next to them and talk to them.
And my grandpa's birthday is coming up, so I made him a birthday card with sparkly pens my mom has.
It means, like, not to be so hard on them and not to be so harsh and cruel. Don't say mean stuff to them and try not to hurt their feelings. God wants us to do that, and it's the right thing.
Well, you heard the scripture about the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm picking up from that today, the message, kindness, the other vitamin K. As I understand it, a healthy dose of vitamin K is good for prolonged life, as it has to do with the blood flow and the clotting. I want to think of kindness as another vitamin K that is also good for our life flow. Now, to understand the background of our story today, it's essential that we have a working definition of what we're talking about when we say the word kindness. Kindness is more than an emotion. It's more than a feeling. In 1 Corinthians 12, it describes love, and it talks about love is patient, love is kind. Also, in another passage of Scripture, it talks about what is called the fruit of the Spirit, or let's call that the characteristics of a person who follows after Christ. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And among those fruit, it lists love, joy, peace, gentleness, and kindness. So, a working definition of what we're talking about today when we use the word kindness is this. It is love in action. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is something you or I do for or to someone else. Now, in the story that we read in Scripture about the Good Samaritan, there are three main characters. There's a priest, there's a Levite who is a temple assistant. For the sake of this sermon, let's call him an associate pastor. You got a pastor and an associate pastor. And then you have
the Samaritan.
Now, you got to understand the background on the Samaritans. The Jewish people hated them. They were a different race than the Jews, but yet they lived in the same country of Israel. There was a Jewish saying back in the days of Jesus that said, it is better to be a dog than to be a Samaritan. That's pretty spiteful. They had prejudice toward each other. Needless to say, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and equally, the Samaritans hated the Jews. So it's against that backdrop that Jesus begins to tell this story. And in the story, he reveals three attitudes toward kindness. Three attitudes that you and I can have toward doing acts of kindness for or to someone. Now, he also blazes the trail toward the end of the story as the plot thickens of what kindness actually looks like. Now remember, kindness is love in action. And at the end of the story, we hear, read, see, sense love being put into action, which in essence is kindness. Now these three attitudes reveal the attitudes that are in each of us. I would like to say, and I'm sure you would too, I would like to say, well, I am the Good Samaritan. Oh, but don't be so quick. It is possible for us to express and experience and to display all three attitudes in the very same day. So, as the plot thickens, let's look at the characters of the story and the attitudes that they present. The first attitude that we're presented with is that of the priest. He comes upon a crime scene. There is a man who has been robbed on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem. He has been stripped, beaten, robbed, and he has actually been left for dead on the side of the road. Now, the priest comes along and sees the crime scene. but decides that he doesn't want to get involved. So the first attitude is seeing but uncaring. It says the priest sees the crime scene, not wanting to get involved. And what does the priest do? It's what you would think every priest would do. He passed by on the other side of the road. Seeing, but not caring. Now, the second attitude is that of the Levite. Remember the Levite, a temple assistant, an associate pastor, so to speak. And his attitude that he presents is seeing, but choosing not to get involved. He sees the crime scene. It says that he came on the same scene the priest had seen. He sees it, but listen to this. This is different. He actually walks over and looks at the man. Curious? Maybe curious as to what's going on here. Curious, but choosing not to get involved. Now, you got to keep in mind, both of these first two characters, they're religious people. I mean, my goodness, you got a preacher, you got a priest, you got an associate pastor. I would think these are religious people. And it also reveals to me that being religious doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be kind. I've pastored 45 plus years, and believe me, I know a lot of church people who are unkind. Very unkind. Being religious or being in church doesn't qualify you. Doesn't mean that you're going to be kind. Being religious doesn't mean you'll be kind. Being like Christ means that you'll be kind. The thing I notice about the Levite is that he appears to be curious. He at least took time to go and look upon the victim of the crime. Curiosity alone, though, is not enough. Curiosity should lead to an act of kindness. And that's where the third character in the story comes into play. Now again, remember how despised this person is. Not just because of the individual, but because of his race. He is a Samaritan, a despised, hated individual. Worse, better to be a dog than to be a Samaritan. And he exhibits the third attitude toward kindness, and that is the actual act of kindness itself. Just like the priest, he sees the crime scene. Just like the Levite, he sees the crime scene. And just like the Levite, he goes and gets up close. But unlike the first two, it says the Samaritan came along the way. He saw the man, who probably was a Jew himself, and seeing the man, it says his heart had mercy on him. Now I try to envision, this may be a little far-fetched, but I try to imagine maybe what it was like for that Samaritan giving aid to a Jewish man who was in a pretty tough shape. It would be akin maybe to an African-American giving aid to a Ku Klux Klan member or a skinhead. It might be akin to a survivor of the Holocaust giving aid to one of the Nazis that he or she were keenly aware who had participated in the atrocities. The Samaritan was despised. But when you're stripped, beaten, robbed, and left for half dead on the side of the road, I don't think you have a chance to be choosy. The Samaritan looked upon the man had mercy. And so Jesus wraps up the story. And he again obviously looks to the attorney who had asked the question. Now let's go back. Remember the question, what is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbors yourself. Follow-up question from the attorney was, well, then, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story, and then he comes back at the conclusion of the story, and obviously, I think he's still addressing the attorney, that individual in a crowd. I don't know how large the crowd was that day, but he turns and he looks at the attorney, and he asks the question, not who is my neighbor? Remember, that's the original question. Who is my neighbor? Here's the way Jesus comes back. He says, who proved to be a neighbor? And the attorney is a smart man. He says, the one who showed mercy, or the one who showed kindness. And Jesus said to him, you got it. Now get at it. I'd like to think maybe those are our marching orders too. To be kind. A long life's way. Try a little kindness. On Sunday, I'm going to make available some little buttons. I mean, they're insignificant in themselves. They're just little buttons, and you can wear it on a piece of clothing, and it simply says, be kind. I'm going to encourage people to take three or four of them and actually wear one themselves and maybe give them out to others. And I ask you this week, between now, the time that you're viewing this video, and then count off 7 days, that every day during the next 7 days, you will intentionally decide to do an act of kindness for or towards someone. Remember the working definition that we're talking about. Kindness is love in action. So I'm asking you to develop a new habit, at least for the next 7 days, to put love into action. Won't you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we all have our filters that we look through, and at the beginning of this video, I talked about my filter. I see the world becoming more and more rude, more and more hostile toward each other. And Lord, how do we respond? Do we respond in kind, or do we respond with kindness? I confess to you, O God, it's hard to be kind when someone is spewing venom at you. But you have called us to exhibit love in action. So, gracious God, I ask you to give us strength that is beyond any strength that we may have. Help us to be instruments of kindness, not just during the next 7 days, but to develop a habit that will take kindness all the way through the remaining days that we may have here on earth. We lift up those, O God, who need a touch from your healing hand, your comforting hand, and your strengthening hand. And, O Lord, we lift these things up with one united voice as we pray together. The blueprint, the example of a prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. I want to leave you with a good word that I think you can figure out, because it's been the theme throughout this message. And that good word is kindness. Take the kindness of Christ and be a conduit through which that kindness passes through to others. This day and forevermore.
Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life, and we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.